Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. It's an old story in Beirut. Fierce street fighting, a Syrian brokered truce finally put in place. It only lasts a few hours until the guns bark again. The principal focus of the battle today is a 40-story building of great strategic importance. Just across the street is the building housing the CBS News Bureau. Newsman Juan Carlos Gamusio says twice today the building has been caught in the crossfire.
The first truck RPG hit the office directly. The second one crashed into the first floor just below and caused some damage, but nothing seriously. At this point, everybody's staying in the hallways of the building simply because it's absolutely impossible to set foot on the street. The street is a battlefield between Hamas and the leftist alliance. They have been battling now for more than 40 hours.
Nobody was injured at our bureau, but the combat has cost 50 people their lives with 170 wounded. CIA Director-Designate Robert Gates faces more hard questions this morning when he returns to the witness chair at confirmation hearings before the Senate Intelligence Committee. CBS News correspondent Chris Kelly is following the proceedings.
So far, the emphasis has centered on Gates' involvement in the Iran-Contra affair rather than on his future as CIA director. Gates said the agency was largely in the dark on many key issues, which in retrospect could have been his mistake.
I think in light of this experience of the last few months and all that has flowed from it, I certainly do wish that I had launched a more intensive investigation at that time.
To paraphrase it, you feel it would have been better and that if you had been more aggressive.
Yes, sir.
Gates said the controversial program was kept alive by the president, that it was a bad idea to tempt Iran with weapons. But the worst mistake, said Gates, was not informing Congress sooner, an issue which Gates said could have forced his resignation if he had been CIA director. Chris Kelly, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Israel's role in the Iran arms affair has been a bone of contention since the story surfaced last fall, but has not been much of a factor during the Israeli prime minister's visit to the United States this week.
This is Jacqueline Adams at the White House. When Israeli Prime Minister Shamir meets this morning with President Reagan, the two men are expected simply to touch on the Iran-Contra scandal and the Jonathan Pollard spy case. Administration officials say neither subject will be the centerpiece of the discussions. Shamir insists that although he approved trying to make contact with Iranian moderates, he had little or no knowledge of the actual arms sales. His foreign minister, however, says Shamir was a full partner in the initiative. Instead of last year's Iran policy, Shamir and the president are expected to focus on reviving the Middle East peace process. Administration officials want to explore the possibility of an international conference, which would lead immediately to direct negotiations with the Palestinians. But because the Soviets, as members of the UN Security Council, would play a role in such an international conference, Shamir remains adamantly opposed. He made that position clear in yesterday's meetings with Secretary of State Schultz. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, The White House.
The Washington Post quotes two well-informed sources for a report that First Lady Nancy Reagan is no longer speaking to White House Chief of Staff Donald Regan. Mrs. Reagan is said to have been pushing for Regan's replacement for several months. The newspaper says the president has not indicated any change in his commitment to keeping Regan on the payroll, but that there are indications he might leave voluntarily within the next few weeks. Efforts to curb smoking taking place on both sides of the nation. CBS News correspondent Steve Young reports that in Washington today, Congressman Mike Sinar of Oklahoma will propose a bill.
The legislation being introduced today by Representative Sinar would end tobacco ads in newspapers and magazines.
I have no problem with adults choosing to smoke. The problem that I have is that the advertising and promotion is geared towards our children, and it's our children that we're trying to protect.
Sinar's bill also would eliminate tobacco billboard advertising and sports promotion. Supporters say tobacco kills 1,000 Americans a day. The ban would be a blow to the health of American newspapers and magazines, which get $2 billion a year in tobacco advertising. Brendan Moran of the Tobacco Institute says it just wouldn't work.
In fact, in Europe, there are 15 countries that have banned forms of advertising and promotion of cigarettes. And in 14 of those 15 countries, cigarette consumption continues to rise.
Supporters of the bill are looking for a smoke-free society by the year 2000 if they can defeat the powerful tobacco lobby and get Congress to snuff out tobacco advertising. Steve Young, CBS News, New York.
This is Victoria Corderi in Beverly Hills. It was a showdown at City Hall. And when the smoke cleared, the powers that be in this chic city voted that puffing in public places is passé.
Councilmember Ellman?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stansbury?
Yes.
Mayor Spadaro?
Yes. Thank you very much.
The city council voted unanimously to ban smoking in retail shops and restaurants. Beverly Hills restaurant owners are fearful that a no-smoking law will be hazardous to their business.
It's going to hurt us. It's just going to hurt us. That's all there is to it.
We don't know what's going to happen. A lot of customers, they said goodbye to us last night.
Before the ordinance becomes law, it must pass another vote in 2 weeks. If it does, Beverly Hills will join Aspen, Colorado, as the only two cities in the country to snuff public smoking. Council members think similar ordinances will be passed around the country because medical evidence is on their side. The Surgeon General says secondhand smoke is harmful to non-smokers. And this is one town that takes a dim view of anything secondhand. Victoria Quadri, CBS News, Beverly Hills.
Some reports say the death toll could be as high as 70 in the head-on wreck of two commuter trains in Brazil. Dr. Paulo Correa works at the hospital where many of the 200 who were injured were taken.
In the hospital, there are only around 5 patients, and they are in good conditions now. Mostly, all the patients that were in bad condition died last night or during the accident.
The accident happened in a suburb of São Paulo, where one of the trains was switched to a track on which the other was approaching. Poland's declaration of martial law to curb the Solidarity Union and other dissenters led the Reagan administration to order economic sanctions in 1981. Apparently, that's about to change, as we hear from David Martin at the Pentagon.
Now, the Reagan administration has decided to lift those sanctions, which Polish leaders claim have cost Poland billions of dollars in Western loans and markets for their goods. The decision, expected to be announced this week, has been in the works since last September, when Poland granted amnesty to more than 200 political prisoners. 2 weeks ago, Deputy Secretary of State John Whitehead visited Poland, where he met with Lech Walesa, leader of Solidarity, and Cardinal Joseph Glemp, head of the Roman Catholic Church, both of whom urged a lifting of sanctions. Pope John Paul, along with many prominent Polish Americans, also has urged that sanctions be lifted. However, administration officials caution that major U.S. loans to Poland are not likely anytime soon. Poland is already overloaded with foreign debt and remains a poor credit risk. David Martin, CBS News, the Pentagon.
New housing starts off slightly last month, but the number of building permits issued was way down. The dollar gained some ground as the European money exchange is open today. Gold prices lower. On Wall Street so far, the Dow Industrials up 17.5 points.